Hello. We're like visible and physical.
We're physical. We've manifested physically.
So for listeners who can't see us right now and for whom we're not visible right now, we are adding some video again.
Yay!
Woohoo! It took when was the last time? Like,
Season 2, episode 4.
it's like not even the whole season, right?
No, I think the last episode wasn't in video format.
Weren't like multiple of the last season that we didn't do? I don't remember, but it's a different view, a different setting.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else. We have a high definition camera feed, so you can see all our ins and outs.
Yeah, the shaky ins and outs. We got a.
Shaky. Yeah, we'll fix it next time, I guess. I need like a stand or something to put it on, but
Saw you like using your mouse pad
yeah,
or your
like.
trackpad on your.
He's touching the desk right now, and it's
I'm not
moving the
just
camera.
touching.
Oh, yeah, you're doing other stuff. Don't make the desk too excited, I guess.
Isn't that how you use it? Oh, you use your index finger with a
Yeah, I
trackpad.
do.
I use my middle finger usually.
Oh, that's
It's longer.
yeah, that's true. But like, look how big this is. Like the trackpad.
That's what
Like
she said?
you don't need that much
No, you
space.
don't.
Like just flick it.
Yeah, just half of it.
Flick it. All right. Well, anyway, welcome to another episode of Error Code Coffee.
Yay.
We are at episode 14.
Yes.
Yes, I was thinking while saying it, but
You're right, sir.
yeah. Oh, by the way, we had a. Do we have some responses
Yes, we
last?
do.
They were not yours, right?
Well,
Maybe. Okay.
no, they're not. They're
All
not
right.
mine.
I hope it works, by the way. Oh, now it does. Okay. Like, Spotify sometimes disables features. Like, I've been looking the past 2 days and I wanted to see that these, like, statistics.
Oh,
But
not these nuts?
no, thank you. But they were gone. So,
The statistics or the page? Because the interact page sometimes disappears.
yeah, well, this whole, like, interact part was also gone.
Oh.
Like, the poll was
Oh,
gone and the
per
Q&A.
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
It's
had that
weird.
before too. Like you want to see the responses under each episode
And it's
and
just
they.
gone. Yeah,
Yep.
it's so weird. But yeah, we had a on our last episode, we talked about we had another Reddit web dev Q&A, and we asked the question, do you want more Q&A episodes? And two people voted.
That's a resounding
That's
yes.
a resounding yes.
That.
I think one of us was yours, right? Or not?
No, I didn't even respond.
Oh, well, we have two listeners who are interested, I guess. And we also asked how we should name the episodes or like number them, I guess.
Yeah.
Lucy said dash, or how to call it?
It's a
A
hashtag.
hashtag. There's another word for it. A pound. That's it.
Pound?
Yeah, pound.
What's happening this episode?
Don't you know that? It's
Sure.
called pound.
Yes.
But
British pounds.
hashtag five.
Yeah,
It works, I guess,
I like
but.
the idea of number too. So like hashtag and then a number behind is like number
Yeah.
five,
Oh,
right?
like written out, you mean, or what do you mean?
No, like listen, the hashtag itself signifies that the following is a number. So like you pronounce it as number five,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Like if you are reading something and there's a hashtag and then a number
You
behind
say
it, you would
number
say,
five.
yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's nice and concise. It's very short.
True.
But I don't know if everyone understands that the hashtag is a number.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I might just want to do like NR, then dot, then five, for example. But it's a bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like almost everything is better than part five or like a part for it, right?
I'm getting hungry again.
You can also just put a number without a hash.
I
That's
want
also
some
fine.
cake.
Okay. Me too, but you know,
Well, let's get some cake later.
there's already a lot of cake in here.
Yeah, I'm full of cake.
Like, okay, it's a bit of a detour again. W
What
welcome
do
to
you
the
mean? We're
welcome welcome to the podcast, I guess.
responding to
But
our interactions.
I
So.
know, that's true, that's true. But what I wanted to say was yesterday I went to like a French baker in The Hague. Like the same that's in Delft, Michel, I think.
The French one?
Yeah, it's also in The Hague for some reason,
Okay.
right next to the company I work at right now. But I
That's
bought.
dangerous.
I know. I didn't know until like 2 weeks ago.
You
So
know, oh
I'm
crap.
glad because the last few months I didn't know it was there, but now I found out. So I bought like way too much. But
I don't have to do that.
Why not? Because
Kaylee bought a new oven.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's
just baking everything, yeah.
My God.
That's better, though. Like, that's really fresh.
It's really fresh.
It's also way too accessible to eat.
Yes, there's so much butter in my veins right now.
It's also like, hey, you want to try this out? I try, you know, I hope it's nice.
It's like, we need people to give it to.
You can give it to me,
like,
I guess.
We have croissants and, like, nice. Croiffins? Like, croissant muffins?
Croffins.
Croffins.
Yeah. I think it's croffins, right?
I don't know, but
it sounds logical, I guess.
But what did you get at the
beginning? Oh, yeah. So I got like a half a baguette with, like, how do you call that? Fried. No, not fried. Like, how do you call that? When you bake something in a hot pan? Sear? No, not. It was like vegetables.
Uh-huh. Oh, grilled.
Charred. Oh, grilled. Yeah, yeah. Grilled vegetables. Uh-huh. With manchego.
That's for lunch.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Manchego
and cheese. Yeah, it's like a goat and cow, I think, mixed together.
That's haram.
It's not.
Okay.
But that was really nice. And I also had like an almond filled croissant.
Okay.
With almonds on top of it, like powdered sugar. But the biggest problem was I got like a bag of, like, I don't know how many there were, but they were like madeleines, like those small little
madeleines.
Cakes. Yeah, a whole bag. And I was just like chewing them. And then even better, I grabbed a jar of Nutella. It was just, it was excessive. Let's just.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, I grabbed Nutella and I was like eating it with, yeah, it was really nice. Mm. And then I went to the gym this morning. So
that does madeleines with Nutella.
Everything is great with Nutella, so
it's like you need something less flavorful. I guess madeleines are kind of bland.
They are kind of bland, yeah.
But don't they have like a sweet?
They were also a bit dry, so I think like the Nutella kind of, you know,
yeah,
elevated it a bit.
Like 80% fat.
It's yeah. They were not that buttery. Like, they were a bit dry and, I don't know, tough.
That's my experience with bakeries. You overpay and then you don't even get the best stuff.
Yeah, it was also way too expensive. So that's also fun. Yep. Yeah, great.
I remember getting a macaroon for like €3.
A macaroon.
A macaroon.
Uh-huh.
Macaron.
Yeah, they're also really expensive. But like, I've been in France where they were freshly baked and they were amazing. And they're worth every like penny. Sure. But for some reason here in the Netherlands, at least, I can't find any macaron that's like edible.
Yeah. We're gonna try to... I'm going to try to make some at home.
Oh, that's nice.
So
that's difficult to do right. I tried it once, I guess, but I kind of, you know, half-assed it. And Kaylee's a better baker. So
She's persistent.
She'll just keep trying.
She's made a lot of, like, not puffed up pastries.
Ah, right. You get all the, like, the mess-ups. But they're still tasty, probably.
Not all of them.
Oh.
Some of them we throw away. But, yeah, like, the thing is, each oven and each... environment, even like the season, it changes everything. Yeah. And she's like making bread now, and some of them have been overproofed because it just got warm suddenly for a day.
Yeah.
So it just, when she baked it, it was just all flat.
Oh,
it tasted amazing though, because it's sourdough.
Uh-huh.
Like, she let it ferment.
Great. Yeah.
So I ate a whole loaf a day.
Nice. That's how you get fat, I guess. But
I couldn't poop for 3 days.
I need some fibers and less bread.
It's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good, though. Yeah, I get that. I can, like, yeah. Okay, well.
We love food.
We love food, yeah. We should talk. I don't know. It's difficult to talk about food. Like, we can talk about it, but it's not, you know.
What, you mean this episode's not about food?
No, surprise, it's not. Yeah, we're going to do another Reddit web dev Q&A, I guess. And we wrote a few questions down. We're going to talk about those. And let's start with the first one. It's from Geeky Biz with a Z and a 1. And he asked the following question. Oh, God, this is the old Reddit. Okay. Cookies versus local storage. What to use when?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Wow. this post isn't exactly a question, because he kind of...
Yeah, he's kind of explaining it, right?
Exactly. There's like a little, I guess, presentation with a few slides. And it's kind of a good question, because nowadays, a lot of people, I know, even me included, I'm like, What do I use? Mm-hmm. When do I use local storage or cookies? So in practice, they kind of do the same thing.
Yes.
Like if you think about it, you can just store some data that's persistent
in the browser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the client's browser. But there's a lot of pretty big, like, significant differences between cookies and local storage. Specifically, like, cookies, they've existed for a long time. And it's also a way to have the server access data
mm-hmm.
from the client. So when you're working with local storage, you have to manually, for example, if you want to send data from the local storage, you have to actually manually do an XHR request or something. Like, you have to send the data alongside a manual request.
Hmm.
But if you have a cookie set in the browser with the client,
mm-hmm.
The cookie actually gets sent with every request. So if you're, for example, I don't know, you want to keep the client's like login data persistent, and mm-hmm. you want to check that with every request.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, manually also send the client's credentials, for example, client's token.
Yeah.
So cookies are kind of nice in that case that if you want to keep track of the client's login token.
Yeah, that's what it's mainly used for most times, right?
Yeah. And there's a few more things. Like, cookies are a bit more protected. They're more like, you can save some privacy sensitive information in cookies.
Yeah.
Cookies are harder to reach by third parties. Like a external JavaScript file won't be able to access the local storage. Will be able to access the local storage.
Yeah, but not necessarily the cookies.
Yeah, the cookies will be on a different domain.
Yeah.
So, but local storage, I think, is accessible mm-hmm. if you have a third-party JavaScript somewhere. So, like, if you're using a CDN,
yeah.
imagine using a CDN for, I don't know, jQuery,
mm-hmm.
and somehow the CDN got hacked.
Yeah.
And the script that you're now loading on your browser...
Without knowing,
accesses the local storage.
Yeah.
It will get all the info.
Yeah.
While if you... look at how cookies are served, they won't be accessed by the JavaScript. So it's kind of interesting. There's, in my opinion, that's a pretty significant reason why you would choose one over the other.
Yeah.
I do like the local storage's, the API of local storage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like local storage.setItem, local storage.getItem.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Cookies.
It's a bit annoying.
I would definitely suggest a library. Library,
or, yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the biggest differences. Let me see. I don't know, like, for authentication and identification, use cookies. User session info, use cookies.
Yeah.
Tracking people for analytics, use cookies.
Yeah.
Because that's persistent. It's also somewhat privacy sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But local storage also has their cases. Like, if you want to keep the user's preferences, for example, the sorting.
Yeah.
Choices.
Or like a theme, like dark mode, whatever. Exactly. Yeah.
Or, I don't know, like the last search search queries.
Yeah.
In a search bar. You can also, like, use local storage then without having them log in. So, like, you could keep those settings in cookies.
Hmm.
But cookies make more sense if they're bound to a specific user.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe, like, keep track of the form progress, save the form progression.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like,
it's, yeah,
you know, there's local storage is really nice if you want to just quickly throw some data that isn't bound to the user's identity or authentication.
Yeah.
All the other reasons you want to use some persistent data, probably use cookies. So actually use cookies by default. And you can also, like, cookies are easier to clean up too. That's kind of funny. Like, when you're cleaning up your browser history, you won't delete your local storage. Not directly.
So you have to put in a bit more effort to do that. Yeah.
While cookies are kind of the default thing that get deleted when you delete your history too.
Yeah.
You can check it.
It's also like cookies are easier to block, right? Like in your browser, you can decide to not enable third-party cookies in any way. I don't think you can do that with local storage. Like, I don't think you can kind of block that.
Local storage doesn't work the same way. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really keep track of where or what script saved something in your local storage.
Yeah, see, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, while cookies keep track, like when you save a cookie in your browser, it keeps track of which script or which domain save that cookie.
Yeah.
And they won't like overlap. You won't have scripts saving cookies on a specific domain. Like it has to be referenced from the other domain.
Yeah.
So that way you can keep it separate. That's how otherwise the browser would never know.
Yeah, exactly.
How to keep those cookies away. So I think this is a pretty complex and technical question if you think about it, but
It's nicely like formatted or like designed, I guess.
The overview is pretty simple.
Yeah. So yeah, I think what you already said, but like cookies should be the default. Local storage is, you know, for specific cases, as we already mentioned.
Yeah. Another thing, maybe the last thing, is you shouldn't save any large data set in your browser. Especially not in cookies, because cookies get sent with every request. And imagine like saving 5 megabytes of, I don't know, like you can have a blob of your user's avatar. Yeah, it's going to be sent with every request. So your requests get really, really large.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. Sessions and cookies aren't meant to be used as databases.
it's kind of cool if you could, but also... not, I guess. So
there are alternatives.
Yeah.
There's like, we can go into that another day, but there's like in-browser databases that somehow like keep all the data persistent. I think they use a mix of local storage and other things.
Okay.
So like if you want to keep some data, like bigger data sets in your browser, use something like a tool specifically for that, a library. But
yeah, don't just go, you know, willy-nilly, is that a word?
Yeah.
And just put it in your cookies or your local storage.
Yeah. And in most cases, when the user uploads something, it's going to be bound to his identity, their identity.
Yeah.
So in that case, you already have a token, so you can save it in the database and they can retrieve it later.
Yeah, you don't need it in there, so.
Yeah. I think that kind of covers it.
Yeah, I guess so too.
So just to sum it up, use cookies by default.
Mm-hmm.
Use local storage for small data, things that you want to save for the client's preferences, for example.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'll go for the next one.
All right.
It's user pizza rice one. What's up with all these ones after their names?
Again, I think it's like... it was like already taken, so they just added one, then, you know.
Sure. At least it's not 10. That means there's still somewhat.
Yeah, I wonder, like, do they go up one by one? So if it's like one is already taken, they go to two. Do you think so?
I think so.
Interesting. Like, what I always do is just I have a few numbers in my head, I guess, that I use, and I'll just add it to the end, and it's like almost always available.
Yeah. Pizza Rice One asks, what are some theoretical parts of computer science I should learn for a career in web dev?
I don't even know how to answer this, to be honest. But in the description, it says, should I be learning things like data structures, machine architecture, database management, etc.? Any more topics that I should cover? Again, I can't answer this because, you know, I am not a smart guy.
I think you do have an opinion, but let's break it down, because they're basically asking, what do I need to know as far as theoretical computer science things, to have a career in web dev. And so, like, if you're thinking about a career in web dev,
yeah.
I think, like, what kind of web dev are you going
to
be?
Yeah, that's the most important question to ask beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, like, web dev is an expansive, large.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
World. So, like, you can't say, yeah, you have to learn databases because you might never touch a database in your life.
Yeah. And I think, like, for example, if you go like the Python route, I think you should learn more about how everything, you know, below deck works, I guess.
Yeah, because you're working on a native.
Yeah.
Somewhat native.
Somewhat native, I guess. But like,
yeah,
it's closer than like front end development. Like,
yeah, I would say that the first question you have to answer as a person who wants to get into web dev is, what kind of web dev do I want to be?
Yeah, that's already a big question.
Yeah, and like, if you're going to be a front ender, let's take front end for example. Nowadays, front end means a lot of different things, like completely different environment of like things you have to do compared to like 10 to 15 years ago.
Absolutely, yeah.
So nowadays, you do have to know some like actual coding. Actual scripting.
Yeah.
Well, 10 years ago, I would say you can just get along with vanilla JavaScript, some really simple CSS and HTML.
Like the bare minimum of JavaScript was like enough. The main thing was like CSS and HTML, and that's it. Like, and maybe how to add jQuery plugins to your website, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it depends on where you're working and stuff, but
yeah.
Front end was a lot simpler in general.
Yeah, it was a simple time.
Yeah. Nowadays, I think like if you don't know how loops work, how recursion works, how I don't know some frameworks work,
yeah,
you're gonna have a tough time being a front ender. So like there is computer science behind that, I would say, like algorithms, data structures, like what kind of data you're getting. Is it like JSON? Is it CSV, is it like what kind of data structures you're dealing with?
Yeah.
But also like API like tools. There's a lot of like ways to receive data nowadays that didn't exist back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be just not even JSON, like a long time ago.
Yeah.
You would just have like you would just receive pre-formatted HTML.
Yeah, right.
Remember?
Yeah.
And then you have to like inject that in your so it would be rendered server side and you would inject it.
Yeah,
there was no other way. That was Ajax, remember?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, there was like it was fun, I guess, but it was also pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's very very slow.
And also like I don't know, like styling wise it was always a bit of a hassle, and I don't know, it was
dangerous too.
Yeah.
Like was very sensitive to errors. But like nowadays with frameworks, you'll have a completely different way of working. So like, how do you receive GraphQL? How do you write GraphQL? How do you write, I don't know, like...
If you are specifically in that part of front-end, I guess, yeah.
But that's the thing is you cannot know about this and be a front-ender nowadays. Maybe like a UI designer.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know about GraphQL.
Yeah, but that's something. If you're gonna work on a project and they use GraphQL, you're gonna have to learn GraphQL.
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. And that's like I'll quickly learn it, so yeah. It's fine, I guess. But
I'm just saying, like the data structures that you're getting nowadays is just more. There's more of it.
Sure.
And depending on the environment and the projects you're working on, you'll have to learn to work with them. There's like. The science behind that is more complex than it used to be.
Yeah,
10 to 15 years ago.
Yeah. Also, like the split between front end and back end was like bigger. So yeah. It was like as front end, you weren't even like touching any of that.
Exactly.
So and now it's kind of blended together. Yeah. So you have to also, you know, do all that.
Yeah, and so like for example, a front ender who's never dealing with data, sure, maybe they won't need to know about databases, APIs, data structures, and like GraphQL. Mm-hmm. But if you're dealing with a large and like very expansive data set with multiple API types, you know, like GraphQL, some JSON, some REST, whatever, you'll have to know about that and know how to like access and interpret and then process, parse that data. So I would say like computer science goes way farther than that.
Yeah.
Like you have to know about like machine architecture. You need to know about like operating systems.
Yeah.
How kernels work.
It's a lot. Yeah.
But there are some basic fundamentals in computer science that I think still apply for any kind of digital job that has when you're creating something that has to run on the computer.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like you can call them developers, I guess, like computer developers, like as a general term.
Yeah.
I would say that knowing about how programming works, like why writing JavaScript is different from writing C++.
Yeah.
What the differences are, how the computer processes and parses it, and when to choose what language, when to choose what algorithm, when to choose what type of recursion method.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I think it's really important for especially senior developers.
But yeah.
If you're a junior developer, I think it's a good idea to invest some time in that kind of field of computer science.
Yeah.
Is how do computer languages work?
Yeah.
Because in the end, we've heard this so many times, it's kind of a meme. In the end, it's all ones and zeros.
Mm-hmm.
So why does writing a Latin character, a character that humans can read, how does that get parsed by the computer to actually run something on the processor?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of I think knowing that pipeline, knowing how, like why, for example, dividing is more complex than summation or reduction, mathematical like equations and stuff, which ones are really heavy and which ones aren't, stuff like that. It's good to have a main idea, like a basic idea of what to be aware of.
Yeah, I think it will help. It's like a base, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a foundation. I think you can get away without it, I guess, but it also does help a bit to make more sense.
Yeah,
it really depends on like what kind of, you know, person you are, I guess. Like some people just do something and they know how it works and it's fine, you know. They don't necessarily need all the fundamentals, I guess. So
there's this answer that I really like. So coming May will be my first year since I started my career in web dev. Based on my experience and wise words from seniors. I can tell you that data structures and algorithms are important no matter how well experienced you are. I would honestly spend some time on that. You're not going to use everything in your job because
you won't use most things in your job, to be honest.
I would say data structures are kind of good to know. Algorithms are less important to know if you're not a really, really experienced senior web backend developer.
Yeah, but exactly. Like it all depends on so many things, like what kind of developer you are and what kind of company you work. So,
Operating systems, though, I think it's a good base knowledge to have is which operating systems exist, how they're used, which ones are used for what, and what the differences are between them. I would say version control. I don't know if that's computer science, but that's like a base for any kind of...
That's like mandatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Databases. I would say, spend some time on databases. Learn the difference between...
It's good to know, right?
But I think
depending on what kind of developer you are, like if you're more backend or front-end developer, it's really important. But like if I'm looking at my past few jobs as a freelancer, I haven't even touched anything database related.
Sure, but you had people doing that for you.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. Like it really depends on like what kind of developer you are and in what kind of company you land, you know?
I kind of agree with that, but
I think you should learn it because it's also like you'll know how it works in the end, right? It's like you can
exactly Like knowing the difference between a relational database and a document-based database.
Yeah.
I think that's like...
really good to know.
Yeah, it's like the Web Dev 101 stuff.
Yeah, but it's more like if you're really simple, I guess. I don't know, that's not a nice word, I guess. But you can just be a front-end developer without any of that.
100%. I don't disagree with that. I just think that if you want to advance your career and you want to have some form of authority over choices made in the project, have an opinion, it's good to be informed about these kind of topics.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also like the same with like hosting, for example, your own website. I know there are a lot of front-end developers or developers in general who don't have their own website because they don't know how to host it.
Exactly.
That's also, on the one hand, I think that's really weird. Like, how can you not know how to host a website because you build those things and you don't know how to put it online?
It's like you're missing a part of the the production.
Yeah. It's like, what happens? You develop something and it just, you know, magically it's put into place.
Yeah.
Also, it's not mandatory again. Like, you can get away without doing any of that. Mm-hmm.
And nowadays there are tools or services that, like Webflow, for example.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, like Wix and stuff like that. Like, the hosting part is now also being abstracted.
Yeah.
Which, like, 20 years ago, you didn't have all these advanced hosting options that allow you to not, you know, not run a VPS or... Like, you at least had to know how to use FTP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nowadays, you don't even have to know that.
And, like, at least a little bit of Apache or Nginx, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you had to do some kind of... how do you call that? Yeah.
Some kind of routing.
Routing, I guess. Yeah, I remember a lot of days, you know, digging into my HT access file, guess. And, you know, if you mess something up, everything goes bad.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, the things we talked about. Like data structures, databases, front-end languages, some back-end languages would be nice. To just get a grip of what is out there. And in the end, I would honestly suggest another roadmap. Roadmap.sh has a really nice overview of all the things you should probably know. If you're going in a specific route. That's the thing. The roadmap also has like branches. So if you're going a specific route, it tells you, okay, you should probably know about this if you're going to be an API-focused front-end developer.
Yeah.
And there's also back-end and front-end there, so you can have that distinction. It's not all like web dev.
Okay, well, that's nice.
So yeah, I would say take a look there too and see what kind of science / theory backgrounds you need.
It's also like, if you're interested, like really personally interested in like development in general, I think you should... like you automatically also kind of, you know, invest and go, you know, spend time into like all these things.
I don't know about that anymore. A lot of like developers just focus on front end and like frameworks and they just forget about what the computer actually is doing. And
they're just doing their job, I guess. Yeah. That's also fine, but
it depends on where you want to land in like a couple of years.
Yeah. And also like, if you're also doing this because it's a hobby or like something you're really interested in, or is it like it's a job, so I'll just, you know, do my job and that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a good wrapped up answer.
Yeah, it's a lot, but yeah, it's not an easy question. I think the next question might also be the last question for now, but it's an easier question at least, so that's nice. Yeah. So the question is from... Falcon Chungus.
Ooh, that's a good name.
That's a great name. And the question is, what do you listen to while coding? What do you listen to while coding?
Oh, man.
Like,
silence.
My own head, yeah. Like, I listen to so many things.
It depends on my mood.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also like in what kind of development phase I'm in right now. Yes. If I'm really stuck on something, I might not even listen to anything. But exactly. I also might listen to anything because that helps, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all mood-based. And also the type of music I listen to really depends on my personal mood and also my technical or development mood, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all that. So also if I'm personally interested in something at that moment, I'll, you know, easier or quickly listen to it. Like, I listen to sometimes to podcasts while developing.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that work?
It kind of does. Like, I've been doing that for a long time now. Also, like, I sometimes put up videos while I'm working.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
I've done that before.
Just on my iPad.
Or like Twitch or something.
Something like in the back. And I'll, you know, I
where
don't
people
put
are
it,
talking.
Yeah, yeah, I don't put it to put it that, you know, high in volume, but it's just, it's there. And it's like a distraction, I guess. But
some background noise.
Yeah. It's just sometimes it really helps to not focus too much on something, which sounds kind of weird, I guess. But sometimes you're just so like focused on some specific thing that
you get tunnel vision.
Yes, exactly. And you're like, over and over, you're just doing the same stupid mistakes. And you're like, why can't I just, you know, fix this? And sometimes it helps when you hear people talking in the background or something to kind of, you know, split off or like lose a bit of your focus and just, you know, go with the flow. Yeah. I don't know.
I think, yeah, I have the same. Like, so I think we'll give some examples of music we listen to or,
Like
audio things. But let's talk about like the reason why we choose different things to listen to. And one of the things is, yeah, you're right. I noticed that I myself have a habit of like going deeper and deeper. Like if I would visualize my mental process, I would be like going deeper and deeper into a like underground, basically, like going so deep that it gets so dark that I kind of lose track of everything.
Yeah,
I lose track of my body.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna be developing for a couple of hours sitting in a really bad position.
Yeah,
and I suddenly try to move and it's all pain.
It hurts. Yeah.
I don't eat or drink water.
Yeah,
like I've been there where I'm like hyper focused and then a couple of hours pass and I'm like, crap, what did I even accomplish? A lot of times you're so hyper focused on details that don't even matter at that point, or things that, you know, you're stuck in them, but it's not the reason. Like the reason you're stuck in that situation is because you're so focused, you can't really see all the other things surrounding the problem.
Well, also a lot of times you're focused maybe a bit on the wrong thing. Like you're so stuck in something that you're like looking over there, but you need to look over there to you know, resolve the issue. Yeah. But
to me, like having specific types of audio, they kind of force me to reorient my brain to like it's more surface level. So I'm able to receive like stimulant things from like just glancing.
Yeah.
If I'm hyper focused, I cannot just glance and receive information.
Yeah.
Like I see words, I see code, I see text.
Something is happening.
Like the rest of the code I see, but like the only thing I'm focused on is line 42.
Yeah.
And why is 42 not working?
Yeah.
Why is there a red line? Why is an error message about 42?
And I don't get this. Yeah.
And yeah, like if you have a specific, I have specific music or audio that get me out of that mental state.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yes, again, it's the same for me. And also the same with having, you know, watching something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're literally, you know, avoiding, or how do you call that? Like, averting your eyes from your screen and the code to something else sometimes, and you see something new or like different than, you know, lines of code. So for some reason that kind of, you know, resets your brain a bit sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. It, again, for me, it's literally like going deeper and deeper and deeper, and then it gets so dark you can't even see anything that like surrounds your issue. And for example, if I'm like in a really, really hyper-focused mode, I listen to music I know.
Yeah.
So my brain knows the patterns of the song. My brain knows what to expect.
Yeah.
And it's something like familiar to me.
It's like a comfort, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm more like orientating myself, or I'm like trying to reset my brain, as we just said, I'm going to choose something a bit more relaxed, less chaotic. But also new.
Yeah.
So my brain has to take some, like, there's some mental capacity.
Yeah, it's getting stimulated, right?
Yeah. It's reserved for that.
Yeah.
So it's not all focused on the, on the, like, the problem at hand.
Yeah.
Thing I'm trying to solve.
Yeah. I have almost the same, but again, with, like, videos, for example, like, I'll pick a video that I've seen like a bunch of times already, or mm-hmm. like a YouTube series that I've already seen a few times. I'll just rewatch it, I guess. And then it's more like in the background, but it's there, I guess. And then when I want to be a bit more distracted, I'll pick something new. And mm-hmm. it's like, I'll need more focus on that.
Yeah. You like keep looking left and right, yeah. code, video.
Or like even go back a bit because I kind of missed it. Yeah. You know, just.
It's like it drones out a lot of your overthinking.
Yeah.
But it also gives you a reason to like stay motivated or something. It's kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah.
Like music is a great motivator, and audio in general is like, it's a stimulant that bring, like soothes your brain.
Yeah.
So you're not overthinking.
Yeah, I think it's also especially the case for me, at least, when I'm wearing like headphones and they're like kind of isolated, I guess. Yeah. Not necessarily like, you know, they don't have to be closed back headphones. But when I'm just isolated in my headphones listening to music, it's really different than when something on the speakers, you know, and it's more like roomy and...
Sure, yeah.
You're less like isolated and less in yourself and more like in the room, I guess.
Yeah. I personally, yeah.
I really prefer listening to headphones, but that's...
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on the environment too. Like having speakers on, like music with my speakers or through my speakers also indicates that there is like, I want to share it. I want to, because... For example, someone in my own house, my girlfriend, for example, would hear it.
Yeah.
And it's more like a celebratory moment.
All right.
Moment where I'm like really happy or my energy levels are really different.
And you kind of want to reflect that too.
Yeah. Or I'm taking a break
from
focus.
Oh, yeah. So also the other person knows that you're probably like in a good mood or taking a break, I guess.
Yeah. Or available.
Yeah.
To like. Yeah, because headphones usually mean like I'm focused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're closing yourself off from the rest of the world. Yeah.
But what kind of music do you listen to generally? Yeah.
Like I'm a bit weird, I guess, but I listen to a lot of different music, but I listen to it like insanely amounts of times. Like
after you repeat it?
Yes. Like I'm...
The same song or?
No, like albums. Okay, let's go back at that first, I guess. I don't have a lot of time left, but... I always listen to whole albums.
Okay.
I'm not a single track guy.
All right.
Like when I discover a new artist, or for example, I'll go listen to the whole album and then decide if I like it or not.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. And then I'll listen to all the albums of that same artist. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I'll listen to all albums like from front to back. I'll also never like shuffle them. I always listen to them in order.
Okay.
Also a lot of times because albums are made in a specific order, but not always, but sometimes they are like tuned to.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely. There's some like softer tracks in between more chaotic or aggressive
or
tracks.
Or like they fade into each other. That's also a lot of times the case. Yeah. And I kind of, I hate it when you're like randomly listening to tracks and it's kind of weirdly. It starts
like boo.
Yeah.
From like the previous from the track. Previous.
Yeah. That's weird. But so I'll listen to one artist for like a bazillion times. Like
in the same like period?
I'm only listening to the same artist for like the past 2 months right now, or maybe even more, 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I mean, I get that I can't do that. It's like a week max.
There are like I'm listening to like 8 albums or something like that. So it is kind of different, but it's the same artist the whole time.
Exactly. Like if you're hearing the same voice and stuff like that, I don't know if I can handle that. But that's cool.
Yeah, that's and then
to each their own.
And then like what happens a lot of times is I find a new artist eventually and then I'll get stuck in that and listen to that the whole time. So that's how it goes most times. Sometimes I'll like listen to something other thing in between. So it's not always the case, but most times it is.
And what kind of genre?
So right now I'm kind of it's really hard to explain, but the band is called Everything Everything and it's like pop rock.
Okay.
With falsetto in it.
Uh-huh.
It's like a British guy who has a falsetto voice.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's really uppy. Like it's really...
High energy.
And it's really...
Like positive sounding.
It sounds positive, but it's not positive. Like
the lyrics.
It's like you're listening about like politics and like how shitty the world is and all that stuff. But it sounds really happy. I don't know. it's maybe my mood, I guess.
Interesting.
But what do you listen to?
I would say I'm mostly a metalhead.
And how do you listen?
With headphones.
No, I mean like...
Yeah, I understand. So I don't know. I'm following like 500 bands or something.
Jesus.
Like a ton of bands. And I've listened to a lot of like, so when I find a new band, I would have kind of the same process as you would. Is I listen to a song and like, hey, that's catchy.
Yeah.
So I listen to that album, or I like just browse around and through the albums and check which album I'm in the mood for.
Because yeah.
Usually each album has their own sound. I would say after I I really like a band,
mm-hmm.
I start to listen to them a lot. But like after I listen to them for an hour or two, I'm done for it for the day.
All right. Yeah.
So I switch to something else.
Okay.
If I'm in the mood for a specific band for a longer time, mm-hmm. I will still like listen to them every now and then.
Okay.
So I would like maybe Monday I would listen to them, and then Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then Friday or something, like with breaks in between.
Yeah.
Because if I keep listening to them a lot, I just, you know, my brain just gets fried.
Yeah. Oh, you get like a fatigue, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have like songs that I'm like that I connect to specific moods that okay. I go back to, like specific songs of specific bands.
But so like you don't have like playlists for those specific moods, or do you like, you know,
I look them up.
You remember in your brain, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm in this mood, yeah. I'll listen to this right
exactly.
now. Okay.
I would either pick that album, pick that song,
all right.
pick that artist.
Yeah.
Like that's how I work. Like I just look it up. So
it's more like mood based for you then, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. So for me, like when I'm in a very productive mood, mm-hmm. again, I'll choose songs or artists I've listened to a lot. So it's not very new for my brain, even yeah. though the music can be complex
mm-hmm.
Musically, and because I've listened to it so much, I know all the like the details. I know all the things that are going to happen.
Yeah,
it kind of puts me in a comfortable, relaxing mood.
Yeah, I get that.
If I'm gonna like do something new, and I'm like, I have to like orientate myself. I have to like zoom out a bit.
Yeah,
I choose music that is not complex. So usually not metal. I use something like lo-fi or something.
Right.
Something simple and like not very, it doesn't have a huge personality that takes over my mind.
Especially lo-fi, that's like, it's just a bunch of sounds. Like there's no voice.
Usually not.
Yeah. So it's accessible.
Exactly. So yeah, that's mostly what I listen to. I do have, like sometimes I would put on Twitch or something, like, I don't know, a game I like to watch.
Yeah.
On Twitch, and I put it in the background, and then every now and then switch to that tab,
yeah.
check what the hell is going on, and uh-huh. they're like screaming or something.
You have to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, but like lurking, they would say.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the fact that I have so many artists in my like following list also provides me like a way to, like for example, on Spotify, you have Release Radar, which I listen to every week. So a lot of artists come up with an EP or a single or even a new album. I don't know. I can't keep track of all the artists.
Yeah.
So in that Release Radar, it's a weekly playlist generated by Spotify from the artists I'm following. So in that playlist, I just go through it all and listen to all of them and see like, oh, that sounds really good. That's like, this artist made some really
so
nice music.
You like save it for later to investigate if it's something you like, or
I check the artist channel and check if they have a new album.
Okay.
And then like keep track of that. It's kind of a hobby too, you know, like music.
I also do like almost the same, I guess.
Okay.
Like I'll find an artist I really like, and then I'll investigate like, are there more artists like this? And then I get something sometimes completely different, not even like related to the artist, but it's like, oh, this is, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
And I'll investigate more time into it.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's like blogs and stuff on the internet. We can talk about this another day, maybe.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Because
music is a big hobby of mine, and I think yours too.
Yeah.
And like ways we discover music and stuff, we can maybe share that. It's kind of cool.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe let us know if you like something. I mean, we'll probably do it anyway, but you know.
Yeah, you guys have no choice.
Yeah, you have no choice, but let us know if you want this. All right, I think we should wrap up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 50 minutes.
Wow.
It's a good one. A good one.
Good one.
A good one. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, act like you.
It's always nice. It's flattering.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. If I do it correctly, I guess. If no, I'm like bad or like...
You know, you're trying to...
I am doing my best. So yeah. That's nice, I guess. All right. Well, thank you for listening and maybe even watching.
Ooh.
You.
Yes, you. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Aircode Coffee.
Yeah. See you next time.